Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
In Ireland, we always credit ourselves with being good at dealing with death and funerals in particular. And it's something you regularly hear people mention. We don't shy away from that. But are we good at dealing with grief? And do we understand how to cope with grief and to help others? I'm joined today by Senior Social Worker and Bereavement Coordinator with Our Lady's Hospice, Anne Darcy. Anne, good afternoon.
Thank you for having me on today.
Are we good at coping, at dealing with grief when it comes to our front door?
I think we are good at dealing with it as a society in the initial phases, as you said, in terms of people going to funerals, etc. And people are very much there for people in the initial stages of grief. But grief is quite a long-term process. It doesn't end after a month or after 6 weeks. It's often a number of months down the road that the real reality begins to sink in. And at that stage, people would say to me that they notice that their natural support system may be disappearing or not as available as it was in the beginning.
So the neighbours and the family and the friends are great when the person passes the week or so afterwards and 12 months on.
It begins to dissipate and people begin to feel much more isolated and also feel at that stage that they shouldn't actually be talking about grief or acknowledging it, that the expectation is that they should be over it, especially after the first anniversary. And that would be, people will hear that in workplaces, in clubs, from friends, or then they will be told, oh, there's something wrong with you if you're not over it at that stage.
Do you know, I found in my own experience of this when my dad passed a couple of years ago, you know, people will often say to you, would you not go for counselling or did you not go for counselling? Yeah. As though that is the only route to overcome it. I imagine it just takes time. People need to process it.
It takes time and it's what we do with that time. So it's not just automatically grief is a great, or time is a great healer. Mm. It is what we do in that time. But the majority of people do not need counselling. But people often see it as an easy solution or a way of helping somebody. But there is no quick fix to grief. There is no toolkit for grief. We each have to find our own way. In the past, there would have been a lot of emphasis on different stages and phases that people would go through on grief. But that has been more or less discounted at this stage because it's not what people experience. It would be much easier if that was the reality. Yeah. But grief is so messy. And for those of you who have experienced grief, or you just acknowledge yourself there, you may notice that you might have woken up in the morning and you were kind of okay. But 2 hours later, a piece of music, or you just wanted to say something to your dad, and you're in the throes of grief. So we move in and we move out of it. That can be in the space of an hour or over a day or over a week, a month. So it's much messier.
Yeah.
And as we adjust, we will and learn to live with our loss. The grief never goes away, but we build our lives around it, which can have a very positive life.
The thing that
we still miss the person.
Yeah. The thing I have found most actually remarkable about it is that, like, you know, you could look at a household where you have 3 or 4 or 10 people in a household, and how vastly different people, you know, how people deal with it or cope with it or whatever, talk about it or express it. It's so different under the one roof.
Absolutely. And I think that can come as a surprise, but it can also at times lead to people having conflict or falling out, because it can be, well, you're not grieving as much as I am because I'm crying every day, for you're getting on with life. But the reality is that people can grieve very differently, and that will be influenced by many factors. One is your personality. So if you were always somebody that would be quite self-contained and introvert, you're going to manage your grief, the odds are, that way. If you were somebody who was very emotional and a talker, the odds are that's how you're going to also manage grief. So it's personality. It's your relationship with the person. And like that, people will often say to me, oh, I was so close to my mom or my husband, so my grief is much worse than if I didn't have that relationship. Yes, because you really miss them. However, if you had a complicated relationship and conflictual relationship with that person who has died, it can actually make our grief more complex, because we often have to process all of that unfinished business as well, which can be very challenging after somebody has died.
So I'm thinking of people, Anne, at the moment who have maybe recently been bereaved and are, you know, at the very start of all of this, and the neighbours have been there and the family's been there and they've helped and they've supported them, and they're now kind of maybe 2 months on. What's the first starting point, the first thing you say to people?
Trust what is useful for you, because at that stage you're probably going to get an awful lot of advice, and some of it you may welcome and other times it may feel you, I'm not doing this right. We know ourselves best, so trust what you need to do for yourself. And that can sometimes take courage, because when you're getting so much contradictory advice, self-care is so important. So even if you can just get a little bit of exercise, even if it's only a 5 minute walk, it's still important. Trying to eat reasonably healthy. Often people have difficulty eating, or else they're overeating. Sleeping, if we can get it, but again, that could be problematic for some people. And just being very conscious of using alcohol as a coping strategy. I'm not saying don't have a drink in your life if you drink, but not to let it become a coping strategy. Seek support from people if we do have a social network. But again, there are some people who don't have any family or have a very limited support system. So their grief can be very lonely in that. But be very practical when you're asking people as well what you want from them. He's always like, it would really help me if you would collect the children, or if you could do the ironing for me. I'm just so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Rather than something vague, because then that can mean nothing happens on either side of the equation.
And we're all guilty of this, you know, where you step in and you offer, if you need anything, give me a shout.
Exactly.
It kind of means nothing, but probably the person offering it feels great saying it.
Yeah, but the person, the very tangible tasks or things to help. Would you like to go for a coffee with me?
Yeah.
Would you like to go for a walk with me? And then be prepared to follow through. And again, it is moving from the few weeks off. Only commit if you're able to follow through, because that's when people can feel let down.
Yeah.
And then the other thing for people is to have adjust the expectations of themselves in early stage grief. Most of us are much more tired. Most of us, our concentration is gone. We can become more forgetful. So, but yet there is maybe still the same pressure to do everything. Because again, we always think of the emotional responses, but it can be very physical.
We have an interesting text from a listener here, Anne. Is there any way to prepare better before somebody has died in terms of how to deal with grief?
Yes, in the sense of, particularly if you work in hospice or your relative or loved one was cared for under hospice or in other services, we do talk about anticipatory grief and preparing people for death and what is likely to happen. And that would be very important for preparing children as well. And sometimes depending on the illness or how the what's happening, you're maybe having gradual losses with the person, and say if somebody had dementia. However, there is always the finality of death. Until the person draws their last breath, they are still physically with you. So that is always, from my experience, a shock to people, both personally and professionally, even with the preparation.
Okay.
It can help, but there is still that shock and the finality.
A text here from Lisa. She says, I think I've been a much better friend to those grieving, having gone through two family tragedies myself. People are so afraid of mentioning someone who has died in case they make you cry, which is actually exactly what you might need to do. So please, please don't be afraid to ask.
No. And again, offer condolences. People will say they saw their neighbour walking across the road. And again, it's about ourselves wanting to protect ourselves. But unconsciously, we'd put it on to, oh, I don't want to upset them. But it's more about us generally.
Now, it is National Grief Awareness Week. And I'm conscious maybe people might think, you know, look, maybe now is time that I want to speak to somebody. Or perhaps I am just looking for more advice or supports to even pass on to somebody else. Yeah. Where can they do that on?
The Irish Hospice Foundation has a website which would have a lot of information and normalisation of grief. They also coordinate a bereavement support line. The number is 1-800-80-70-77, and it operates 10 to 1 Monday to Friday. It is a support and a line, and it's not a counselling service, but it would also signpost people or
point
family
people
members.
In a direction. Good stuff.
If you are connected in with a hospice or a hospital, that they may also offer bereavement services as well.
Listen, Anne, thanks a million for coming in and joining us here today on the programme. Anne Darcy there, Senior Social Worker and Bereavement Coordinator with Our Lady's Hospice. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.